The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Joe Shea and Jennifer Gannon are with us as ever. Joe's down in our Cork studio at Republic of Works. Fair City is 30 years old, but the executive producer, Breach de Courcy, says that things have changed, that it used to be possible even 20 years ago to be more adventurous. She said we could tell a different type of dark story because it would promote a dialogue, whereas now, depending on what the story is, there's a very instant response. Rather than letting things play out and letting see where things go, the audience responds in a very different sort of way. What do you make of that, Jennifer Gannon?
Yeah, it's a weird one because, I mean, that's the nature of the beast now. People watch TV as they're scrolling through Twitter and they're it's instantaneous, the commentary is. But, I mean, I think as writers, there is a certain responsibility lies with them with the issues, like the kind of dark issues that they would be including in storylines, like, you know, stories about addiction or domestic violence or mental illness even. And I do think that, you know, there is unnecessary trolling and unnecessary backlash. You're always going to get that. But, I mean, that shouldn't take away from the fact that you want to kind of incorporate contemporary issues into a soap.
What's the point of a soap opera these days if you don't incorporate those?
Yeah, you would die. Like, the soap would die out in itself. And I think, you know, First City have been wise in that way. They've been like Corrie and, you know, whereas EastEnders has kind of become a weird London gangster TV show rather than a soap. I think, you know, Corrie and First City and even Hollyoaks have tried to capitalise on issues of the day, and that's how you generate stories and that's how you're supposed to reach people.
Are you a fan of First City?
I'm a fan of Carol. If it was all Carol all the time, Aislinn O'Neill, I think she's amazing. And I think as a character, she could stand up against any of the matriarchs of Corrie and EastEnders. She's absolutely brilliant. If there was all Carol storylines, I'd be watching it every day, like every time it's on. But I do think the thing about First City is we do give it a bad rap, of course. But unlike a lot of soaps out there who are losing viewers, you know, their viewership is actually growing year on year, which
huge.
Is incredible. Like,
do you watch a Joe O'Shea? As a Corkman, do you watch a story from Dublin?
No. I don't really watch soaps anyway. I haven't since I was a kid, and we used to watch Coronation Street at home. It is still a very, very popular show. Their 30th anniversary special got 500,000 viewers, which is doing some business
in
Ireland these days.
That's enormous in modern day numbers. That's an incredible tribute
to them. And they regularly get 25% to 27% audience shares, which again is very, very big, you know. So it's very popular. I can't believe it's been on for 30 years because it doesn't seem like 30 years ago they started doing it. But as long as people keep watching it, they'll keep making it.
Which doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement from you, Joe.
I'm not a fan, but I don't watch any of the soaps. And not because I'm a snob or anything like that. I watch plenty of, you know,
trash TV,
downmarket TV, but it's just soaps
actually,
don't
this
do it
isn't downmarket, is it? I mean, it's popular television.
Populist,
but it's not downmarket,
sorry.
Is it?
You're right. I should have said populist rather than downmarket.
I'm not criticising you, but I'm just sort of thinking, you know, to be fair to the people who put an awful lot of effort into it.
Like, the soaps are Dickensian. That's what we know of soaps. They are like that. You're getting your weekly dose, or now it's on like 3 times a week or whatever, of what, you know, trying to condense what it is like outside in society and what's happening in society. And that's the way they always will be and should be. As I said, like EastEnders, they've gone off the ball completely, and I think they need to rein that back in. And if you look at something like Hollyoaks, they're kind of touching on issues that really affect young people these days, like, you know, from far right conditioning on the internet and all that kind of thing. So I think it's interesting to see what they pick up, where the storylines go in various soaps. It's always interesting.
Okay, let's move on to the return of Saved by the Bell. Okay. Either of you take this up? I actually am not aware of this particular program. Are you
never aware of Saved by the Bell?
No.
What?
Well, before you tell us, Jennifer, are you aware of it, Joe?
I'm aware of it, but I'm the wrong age for it. I think you had to grow up at a very, very specific time for Saved by the Bell. And if you did, it's a big thing in your life because
Jennifer,
you would have watched it.
It's an odd one. It's not like, I mean, I was a big Beverly Hills 90210 fan. That was my thing. And it was like, that's way more serious, whereas Saved by the Bell is a little bit ridiculous and dopey and, you know, very cliche. But there is something about it that, you know, the look of it even is still kind of they use that today on Netflix shows. You can see them, like, even in Stranger Things, like the sets of Saved by the Bell, like the infamous, you know, diner sets and stuff like that. You can see that influence. But I think it's weird the way that they want to bring it back, because, you know, the main character, Zach Morris, who was played by Mark Paul Gosselaar, he's not involved. It doesn't look like he's going to be involved. So it is like the second kind of stringer cast members, like Elizabeth Berkley, who was in Showgirls, let's not forget, Jessie Spano, she was the kind of nerd of the group. And I don't really know why she would be interesting enough to have in this offshoot, you know, show. It's her and Slater, who was like the jock. So they're coming back, and it's going to be on the NBC, the new NBC service, streaming service Peacock, which, you know, if you don't want, and I mean, there's another million streaming services, and this is going to be one of them.
But when the streaming services aren't available, I think, Joe, in Ireland, the TV companies do seem to be able to pick them up and reshow them.
Yeah, you'll see Saved by the Bell on, if you turn on the TV randomly during the day and flick through the channel, Saved by the Bell will be on in there somewhere. It makes sense for the streaming services to do these kind of reboots of classic shows, because they're all trying to chase markets. And what they're hoping for here is that people who grew up with Saved by the Bell are now in the demographic that they want to get, and potential audience or paying for streaming services. So they'll think, yeah, Saved by the Bell was a hugely popular show. We'll say we're bringing it back. At least it'll get attention for us and for our streaming service.
And get them into the streaming service to watch that and other things.
But they're not doing anything interesting.
I want to hear a little clip from the original Saved by the Bell. And in this scene, Zach and Slater discover a joint in the school bathrooms.
I smell pot. You smell it? Yeah. Hey, look, it's a roach.
Slater, don't let it get away. My pet roach Herbert needs a wife.
Yeah, someone's been getting stoned in the bathroom.
Oh, great. And we're just about to shoot an anti-drug spot. Hey, if Johnny finds out about this, it'll blow the whole commercial.
That's right. Let me see this. What's going on here, guys? This isn't your joint.
No, we don't mess with that stuff.
We just found it. Look, I believe you.
All right.
You know, I want to use you guys in the spot.
Really? Cool.
Absolutely. I need guys like you to help me get the message out.
Hey, deal. All right.
You better get rid of this thing.
Yeah. Man. I told you he was a great guy.
Yeah, he's okay.
Hey. Hey, Johnny. Oh, man. Okay, where's the roach? Herbert wants to meet his bride-to-be.
Sorry, Screech. We flushed her.
Sorry. You murderers! You've committed insecticide!
That's it.
It makes Grange Hill look like Ken Loach, in fairness. And like, but like, they're not doing anything interesting with the premise. At least when they've brought back Beverly Hills 90210 this year, and they've done something really interesting with it, where the cast are playing amplified versions of themselves in real life. And it's completely postmodern and bizarre, and I love what they've done with it. But with Saved by the Bell, all it is going to be is like, they're going to have this thing where, you know, they're bussing in kids from low-income schools to go to Bayside High, and it's a culture clash kind of thing, which sounds pretty, you know, miserable, to be honest, a bit grim. So I don't really think it's going to be a massive success.
So we don't run out of time. I'm going to get our picks of the week first. Joe O'Shea in our Republic of Work studio in Cork. What's your pick of the week to watch in the next 7 days?
I'm not sure if people have had enough Brexit and they can't take any more, but if you can possibly stomach some more Brexit, I'm really looking forward to this. Sunday, 10 p.m, Channel 4, Tories at War. It's billed as the inside story of the bitter hatreds that have torn apart, really, the Conservative Party, and they're claiming to have extraordinary access to former cabinet ministers, Brexiteers, and many of the Remainer rebels. So that's Sunday, 10 p.m, Channel
Hopefully
4.
Hopefully, they're going to be dishing the dirt on each other. Yeah. Like,
it looks like the thick of it. It looks like
the
thick of it. The trailer is amazing. They're all calling each other fatheads.
It does look like they really are. I mean, you know, it's been extraordinary to watch the Tory Party ripping itself apart, but the people are just going for each other now at this stage.
The only problem with these documentaries, Joe, at this stage is that I think people have become used to sort of fly-in-the-wall things. And if you think of brilliant ones in recent years like Wiener and Get Me Roger Stone from the States, I think people now expect the cameras to be following and didn't see the reaction maybe of Boris Johnson's side or Theresa May's people or various others. I don't know, will they have that type of thing, I wonder?
I don't think they have a lot of that kind of stuff because I don't think the cameras were there in a lot of cases. And you got to remember as well, a lot of what went on happened with WhatsApp groups. Various rebel groups within the Tory party were kind of like, you know, Remainers and Brexiteers were organising on WhatsApp groups and sending each other text messages and organising in that way. So what they're promising to have Channel 4 is the people who are in the rooms, the people who are sending the messages, the people who are plotting, and the people who are, you know, basically knifing each other in the back. So I think it's going to be a great show.
Your choice, Jennifer, please.
Following on with the political theme, mine is The Politician, and it's out on Netflix today to stream, and it's the debut creation from Ryan Murphy for Netflix. He had like that $300 million deal from them, so this is the first of many of his shows.
Remind me what Ryan Murphy has
so
done before.
So he's done Pose, he's done American Horror Story, he's done The People vs. OJ, the Gianni Versace, the murder of Gianni Versace, so all of those shows, absolute quality. And this looks like it's hard him back to his own surreal masterwork Popular, which is one of the first shows he did, which was a really strange high school show. So it's kind of like that, a mix between that and the film Election, because it's about like high school students running for a student body president. Now Ryan Murphy knows exactly what his audience wants, and we want Jessica Lange, and she's in it and she's looking like a cheap beauty shop Bardo. And then you've got Gwyneth Paltrow, she's being a waspy mother to one of the, you know, students going for president. So it's really just about high school cliques and the fighting against each other, the infighting in school about, you know, trying to get ahead in politics.
Well, you know the old joke about, well, university politics is the most vicious there is because there's so little at stake. And presumably that applies to this one as well.
It's a timely tale of, you know, greed. It's very zeitgeisty, and it's, you know, of kind of like touching on the privilege thing, like the way there was that big dramatic case there with Felicity Huffman about, you know, the college admission scandal. So I think it kind of touches on those kind of things. He has a really good, you know, angle on anything like that. I think zeitgeist-wise, he's the top. He's the master.
Joe, there's an interesting one here from a listener. Going back to what we were talking about Fair City earlier, and I want to come back to it because it didn't come in time, but it says, soaps are made for the herd. They're made to make people feel better about their own lives. What do you make of that of an analysis? Is that rather a cynical approach that it's the media takes towards giving bread and circuses to the consumer?
It's a bit cynical. I mean, the funny thing about soaps for me is the people, the kind of people you have in soaps, and especially in EastEnders, which I couldn't watch, you know, you couldn't pay me to watch, is if these people lived across the road from you in real life, you'd go out of your way to avoid them. You know, you'd have nothing to do with them. But because they're on TV and their stories, you'll actually watch them, you know, watch the minutiae of their lives and everything that goes on. I think with soaps, it's... You're going back to a very old-fashioned kind of, you know, storytelling, serial storytelling, and also people are interested in these kind of small human dramas. So I can see the popularity of them. I have nothing against soaps. It's just
aren't a lot of the dramas we enjoy effectively more posher soaps? And the reason I'm going to bring this up is ER is 25 years old this week. You don't think
I can't believe that. Like, I mean,
it was 25 years old, but can you believe it was a sort of a posher soap?
Yeah, I mean, it's the West Wing of hospital dramas. Like, I mean, I grew up on Casualty, and basically the most interesting things that would happen in Casualty is a child would get electrocuted from a pylon or an OAP would fall down the stairs. And then when you had something like Eeyore, it was so glamorous and they all looked like, you know, they were working in a modelling agency hospital or something. But it was also really exciting. It was like mini film every week, and you'd have like the real infamous tracking shots where you would be like basically on the gurney with that patient and then bursting in through, you know, to like get work done on yourself, like, and that it was just crazy, and I loved it.
It's one of the greatest shows of all time.
And I watched
An entire series of it recently as well, and it stands up really, really well. And the entire thing is going to stream now on Hulu on the 25th anniversary, so another streaming service.
It's going to be on All 4 as well, because it was originally shown on Channel 4 here.
Yes, on Channel 4.
So you can get it on All 4 now, and it's an amazing show.
It's a brilliant, brilliant show, and it's one of my all-time favourites.
Let's hear a clip from episode 1 of series 1, where John Carter finds his first day at the County General Hospital a bit overwhelming.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
I'll be okay in a minute.
Yeah, I just got to me all of a sudden.
Keep your head down. There's no rush. Just relax. It stopped raining. I thought I was gonna be sick. I'm sorry.
Well, never say you're sorry. See, there's two kinds of doctors. There's the kind that gets rid of their feelings and the kind that keeps them. If you're gonna keep your feelings, you're gonna get sick from time to time. That's just how it works. Keep your head down. People come in here and they're sick, dying, and bleeding, and they need our help. And helping them is more important than how we feel. But it's still a pain in the ass sometimes.
The stars, standout stars for you in ER?
Definitely. For me, I loved Dr. Carter. That was Noah Wiley. But also, I think the heart of the show was Dr. Green, who was played by Anthony Edwards. And he was the conscience of the show. Like, if, you know, everyone was saying, you know, because it gifted us George Clooney, obviously, as, you know, Dr. Doug Ross. But I think the centre of the show was definitely Dr. Green. And I think his storylines, where he was dealing with his terminal illness, are the most memorable and really affecting. But then he also had stuff like where ambulances would be exploded or a building had fallen in.
A helicopter would fall off the roof on top of an ambulance.
It was
incredible, the drama of it, the storylines, the risks it took, but also the kind of... It changed TV in a huge way as well. It used lots of, you know, dramatic jump cuts, and it used a lot of, like, you know, tracking shots, and it used a lot of dialogue that you couldn't really hear in the background. I'd never seen that on TV before, of kind of mumbled or overheard dialogue, and lots of, a sense of reality that there was lots of stuff going on in the room, and the cameras were swinging around trying to catch everything all the time.
And they got everyone.
Incredible show.
Like, they had amazing stars that wanted to be in the show. You had everyone from, like, Kirsten Dunst was in an episode, Ewan McGregor was in an episode, and Quentin Tarantino even directed an episode. Like, people were massively into Eeyore, and I think it did change the face of television in a way that, you know, we never really talk about.
Jennifer Gann and Joe Shea, as ever, thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.